Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello, welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am Z and I'm here with Rowan and Ian.
Oh, hello.
And today we're going to be chatting about the cost of always being available. That's like if someone texts you on a Sunday morning, and I'm guilty of it, and they just need a quick email or something. They just need to have a quick conversation to get something off their brain. All of a sudden you're,
I remember I got client feedback once and it's really good. Like when I message her, it's 11:30 at night. She spends time with me and gets all the stuff done. At the same time, I got all like, what are you doing, lady?
And you've just put that on the podcast.
Yes. Most employers would be like, yeah, what hard work. I'm like, you idiot.
The irony last night when you were messaging me, I'm there like working and you're like, hey, you got this. I was like,
I messaged you because you're online.
Yeah, I was working.
It said available.
To be fair, I enjoyed it. It was for me. But yeah, I don't know. I probably need this lesson as much as the rest of them.
No, you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes.
Well, sometimes you actually just feel like working. I was pretty comfy on the couch and I had nothing else to do and I needed to get some thoughts out.
Yeah, now when you got the thoughts, sometimes it's like you can't sleep because you got the thoughts. So you might as well just go deal with that and then you can rest peacefully.
I slept like a baby.
But you cried all night and then woke up and you'd wet yourself.
No, slept like Rowan's baby. Yeah, no, it's probably a lesson I need to learn. However, I am slowly, but
therapy session today.
This is come on, everyone. Please help me.
Tell me about your fascia. Time to reap and a time to sow, I reckon.
My dad, he never stopped, so that's probably where I got it.
It did turn into therapy. Sorry, guys.
That was a compliment to him.
Z is currently lying on the couch.
So I think this conversation came up because I was talking to someone who's interested in starting their own business.
Stop. Don't do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Crack.
Yeah, why not?
Send it.
Do it smart.
It's going to be Ian's therapy session.
Yeah, okay. Now Ian's on the couch. But one of the reasons we're just looking at some statistics.
No, just keep talking. One of the reasons.
That's Rowan just going, ooh, butterfly.
Distracting everyone. Yep.
Then one of the reasons they want to start the business is essentially they want freedom, which...
Don't do it.
Do you want to talk about why you think that?
No, I'm just... If you're starting it for freedom, initially you're not going to have a lot of freedom, I don't reckon.
No.
Well, sure. More freedom. Well...
When you first started?
Pretty good freedom. But when I first started, I had a ton of freedom.
Yeah, yeah. How much money?
More than enough.
Yep.
Yeah. Tons of time. Too much time. I tried to spend to do that day.
What was that business?
This one.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about your first business?
No, I had tons of time. Yeah. Did that in my spare time.
Yep.
A bit of a hobby. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I was slightly more educated than the normal.
Thinking you might be the unicorn in the room, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Z.
There's this idea that when you do start the business, you're going to set your own hours. Well, technically, it's not untrue. It's not a lie. You're going to set your own hours. You're going to run your own ship. You can work when you want, where you want, all those sort of things. Technically true. However, if you also need money to survive, sometimes things start to creep in and you feel like time equals money and therefore...
Got to feed the family.
And then all of a sudden you're working... so much more because it's generating money and you need that money and therefore it starts to turn into a 24-hour shift.
Now you're living to work instead of working to live.
Mm. And then if you've got employees at the same time and they start contacting you and, you know, it's 7:30 a.m. and you are running a cafe and they text you and they say, we've run out of almond milk, what do we do?
We don't know where the couch is supposed to go.
And your breakfast plans are messed up because... you need to get dressed, call the suppliers, and then drive, restock. And the whole time you're just wondering why can't they do it themselves. It's likely because you trained them to come to you. So, I mean, we're looking at setting, I know there's two different examples there. One being you're not setting boundaries about how much you're on your phone and answering clients. And then the other one is how much you're babying your employees. Two classic examples of issues we see that come through our door and the reason why you don't get freedom. when it comes to your business. It's a very nice idea to be able to work when you want, but when time and money crunches come in and people need you or you feel like you need to be needed, then that's when it hurts. So I guess that's where Ian's come in, and he's a bit sad about the fact that you can't get freedom when you run your own business.
I was in a cafe, a local cafe, a couple of weeks ago actually, and there were two young employees running the show. No one else there. One was the barista and one was the short cook. And
what's a short cook?
A short order cook.
For little people.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
baby tuners.
They only children, serve short people.
Yeah.
Yes. Short orders. So like basic fries.
Toasties.
Gotcha. Carry.
And they were having a whinge and complain about being left there alone. And my wife and I are sitting there and like, huh. Well, I think we'd only just recorded the micromanaging. Why don't I'm sitting there going, oh, that's an interesting perspective.
Do I have a conversation with you?
let's chime in. I said, would you guys rather your boss sitting over your shoulder saying you're doing that wrong, why aren't you doing it the way that I showed you, or would you rather have this whole establishment to yourself and have the autonomy? And they've looked at each other and go, oh, yeah, they're not that bad, are they, actually? Yeah, I get to do what I want. I get to run. I get to make the menu. I get to do this. I get to do that. The downside is, last week, that business went out of business. Unfortunately.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
But, yeah, it was supposed to be a positive story of how letting your staff do what they want to do, but there might have been a bit of a culture problem there. I don't know.
Mm.
But would you rather your employees be able to run the show and you have your time freedom that is spruced about in all the brochures of starting a business, or would you rather have them do it your way?
Yeah, it's a fair question, but I think what I've seen is people just feel guilty when they're not working. Like it's essentially their baby. And
it's their reputation.
Exactly. Their identity
it's
is
hard to let that go,
it.
Isn't it?
If they muck up a client, they might not have any more work in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a massive one, isn't it, that we see all the time is if I'm not working hard now, then I might not have anything in the future. Sad. I guess the cost of it being the stress that comes with it, the chronic stress and then burnout. When I see someone with burnout, it really breaks my heart because they...
Now you know what it looks like
in
detail.
Yeah. It's so sad because obviously someone's invested time and money and effort and their dreams into this business and then turned around and they don't even want to look at it, don't want to be there, can't be there, body's not letting them be there, and those hopes and dreams are essentially gone out the window. And that's the like emotional and mental cost of always being available. It doesn't happen immediately. You don't spend 1 week and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, now I'm burnt out. Or
it
snowballs.
Accumulates.
Yeah.
It's a straw that broke the camel's back story with stress. We talked about stress on another episode. But people go into the right thing. I've got to work hard because I've got any clients, I've got to work, so I might as well work hard. I'll answer that phone after work because then I've got some work to do next week. Work. But then at some stage that you've got something to do, things are happening, but then that's the example you've set for everyone who deals with you, whether it's an employer, you're a client or a supplier, that's how they deal with you. And then you've got to either undo it and change how you do it all, or you've got to deal with the fact you're super busy and you're getting all that extra contact too, which then is the straw that broke the camel's back. Like it all adds up into all these different types of stresses, and then suddenly we don't have time or we can't have time to do the right things.
Suddenly you're in the corner with your thumb in your mouth in the fetal position. Don't know what happened, and it was something minor.
It's so interesting though, recently, because I've been doing a bit of trying to understand what makes people tick. I have something about the psychology of business, kind of fun. Anyway, I sent people that I know that I would consider to be quite successful in business, I sent them a message and I said, can I pick your brain about your business? What was the one thing that really got your business up and running from just an idea? So I've sent every single person this text. I said, I know that people can have a great idea that's loved, but then getting actual paying customers is a whole different story. Was there something that made it all click for you? Can you tell me what that was?
What time did you send this text message?
Sent it all at 10 p.m. at night.
And every single one replied.
They must like you.
And the overwhelming response was, I was available, that was one of the big ones. One was putting yourself out there, which we can chat about in a future podcast. But then, oh, we did. The last one was about
that. We did chat about it in a future podcast.
We did. We did. Wow, I'm so switched on. Anyway, the next one was that, oh, a story. There was a small business, a little medical business, and essentially they'd just bought it, had no investment. Other people were investing in them, so there was a huge risk to everyone around them, and they knew it. It was back when computers and stuff weren't necessarily about. They've grabbed their phone book.
What'd you look at me then?
They grabbed their phone book and they've taken the phone.
Hang on. What's the phone book?
As in like a phone book with all your contacts.
Oh, okay.
And they had like just the checking. Paper diary and those sort of things.
Some people might not know what a phone book is. They might be your age.
I don't know what a phone book is. How old do you think I am?
12.
I'll have you know it's my birthday this month. Anywho.
You're getting older.
Anywho, so they've taken the phone book home every single night, and whenever that phone went off, they would be picking it up. They would never let it not be answered. And that was essentially what they did for the first 2 years. They said they would answer that call anytime, and if someone wanted to book in, they would be there. It was almost like a 12-hour guarantee. They'd worked from 6:30 in the morning until random hours on the weekend, because that's what worked for their clients, and they were just available and available and available. Anyway, not something they had to do forever because their business became quite successful and they were able to fill those spots, but it was what they needed to do in order to get their business to where it was. The risk being they could have kept that going as a standard and they could have just been like, I'm going to be available whenever, wherever, because I know it works.
Could have been, imagine if they did keep that going as a standard.
Mm.
Like, and they delivered that. That would be cool.
Pretty incredible. Yeah, I feel like you'd need more resources.
Sign some resource to it. And that's the motto of the business was that we'll answer the phone no matter what.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Anyone who's annoyed with someone not answering your phone, there we go.
Probably a bit easier back when it was landlines. You had still had that disconnection. Like with a landline, there was a few places I worked where it was a two-ring policy. So if it rings more than twice, if we failed. Mobile phone changes that a little bit, doesn't it? Because it's always there.
It's not just the phone ringing, it's the fact that you can do stuff on your phone too.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, they're at home, they're waiting, it's the middle of dinner and they're picking up that phone. It doesn't matter what's happening, they're picking up that phone. Mm. They are always available. And so,
what happened when they're already on the phone?
Ooh.
Interesting.
Because it would just go...
Worth a question.
Beep.
Yeah.
Beep.
Yeah, I remember those.
I just remember the beeps then.
Landlines were something else.
That's an interesting thing. So that's what they thought it was important.
Yeah. Anyway, so they were probably the opposite of what we're going to recommend in this podcast, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, the timing,
you've got to do what you're going to do. So there's time for working hard and there's a time for working smart.
Mm.
And there's a great time to work hard and smart, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're at one stage in your career or your business, working hard makes more sense.
Yeah.
And when you're at another stage, working smart makes more sense. Mm-hmm. But working hard's always fantastic. Always recommend that. But if you're doing the right things, the issue is there where we're doing things that don't make that much sense because we did it once because maybe it made some form of sense, or we could, or we had the time to, so we didn't really mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I don't mind making that dinner for you tonight because, yeah, I've got a bit of time, but then you always make dinner for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we do mind, but you never change it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those things. So some things make sense, but some things don't make sense.
Yeah, the cafe example doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've got nothing to do this morning. I'll get the milk next time they ring. Can you get the milk to get on the way through?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind. Oh, no, I don't mind.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas those people starting a business, they've gone in to really over-deliver early. And there's one adage that rings true. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. So every person that they dealt with in their first few months of business has come away from that transaction going, oh, that wasn't the usual. That was kind of good, one would hope.
Mm. They build an incredibly successful business.
Yeah. So, again, there's a time to do that. There's a time to, as Rowan said, there's a time to work your butt off. And it probably is when you first start, is put yourself out there, under-promise, over-deliver. Have a whole ream of happy customers in your phone book and build on that and then scale out.
I think when we're talking about this, we're talking about things getting a little bit out of control. That adding up is having some healthy boundaries. So whatever you decide to do, have some boundaries on that. So mm-hmm. we will do this, but we won't do that.
Hmm.
And, you know, we have it here with clients that we do certain things and there's some things we don't do. Hmm. Other people are really good at it. you really complain at us because we don't do those things. Well, that's fine, no worries. Like, it just doesn't suit us. That's nothing bad about us. That's nothing bad about you. It's just it's not going to work out.
It's not a service we offer.
Well, it's going to be service. It could be how we do it. You know, do we want to answer the phone at 8 o'clock at night? Guaranteed, no. Are we happy to answer it sometimes? Yes. If you abuse that, probably not.
Yep.
If you're not happy to pay a bill, probably not. You know, there's certain things that we're happy to do and we do very well, and there's certain things we're probably a lot worse than other places, but we just don't see them as valuable. The cost for us as people is not worth the value to the client or to us, so we prefer to upset them and not do it than be upset ourselves.
Mm.
And then some people get that, some people don't.
Mm.
Has consequence, like, just for yourself, even, like, as a person who probably hasn't set boundaries, it does have consequence, you know, that, hey, I have a quick question can certainly turn into hours. And I know I've done that, and I'm happy to do that for the people that, or when it suits me, essentially, if it's outside normal time. But then you do have to think about the people that you're, so let's just say I did that on a Sunday when I'm out playing golf. All of a sudden, I'm distracted. I'm not present. I'm not.
Lucky you're good at golf. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah.
Oh, gets out of bunkers, no problems.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, and so it does impact the people around you, and so you've got to be aware a little bit.
That's it. The boundaries are personal, I guess, because you know if you've got a client that's you're dealing with after hours, and a quick call turns into 2 hours. You don't mind doing that, so that's fine. It's the issue when the client then saves those questions till 8 o'clock because they know you're available at 8. There's a very big difference between a client calling saying, oh, I need a bit of a hand, we want to chat now, sorry to distract you, you know, can we do this, and oh, it's time to chat now, and having those boundaries. And I think that's the difference, you know.
Yeah, well, it's pretty relevant considering in the last podcast we were talking about how you essentially live your work in the sense that when you're networking and those sort of things. Yeah. But when it comes to addressing issues for a client, for example, like you're still a human, still need your downtime, that sort of stuff.
You're allowed to say no.
Yeah. I know when I was first learning this, it was an issue where I didn't want to disappoint people or I didn't want to miss out on an opportunity that someone might be presenting me. If someone's called me and they're not actually my client, but they want some help or to ask a question, that could be me working with them in the future, so why am I going to miss out? And I do look back on that because I'm obviously still building.
We all are.
Yeah. I want that opportunity, and so I can justify that. Would I do that now? Sometimes.
It's give and take. It's like there's a criteria both ways.
Mm.
So one's setting boundaries, one's setting what's the rules of engagement.
Yeah.
So changing the topic completely to different, look at a different angle. There's a client a very long time ago that was just like their life was ruined because they're constantly clients calling the business. Now the receptionist was getting them, everyone's getting phone calls 24/7 non-stop. Where's the job at? Where's the job at? Where's the job at? And they're booked out for 18 months ahead. So they had 18 months worth of clients ringing the business constantly. Where's the job at? Where's the job at? Where's the job at? Where's the job at?
Exhausting.
Hated life. Everyone in the business hated life. And so what was the change? The change was changing the process to give everyone a monthly update on their current estimated schedule. And the phone stopped.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we did it this way. We had a few clients and it was fine when they rang up, got a little out of control, and no one went back and changed the rules. Or, you know, part of that's communicating to the client, hey, don't ring us when the job, when you sign them up. If you're wondering about your job, we send a monthly update.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now they know not to ring. They're aware. So it's what do you agree to with people? But I think most people, whether it's a personal thing or a work thing, probably they have expectations, and if they get upset, they might show that displeasure but might not tell people what that means. They won't change the expectations or communicate the expectations. And being able to have that sort of self-assurance or confidence or self-respect is probably the best word to go, well, here's a boundary. This is what I'm happy with. This is what I'm not.
Yeah.
So I know sometimes people call me and I'm like, hey, this isn't a weekend call, guys. Like, what's the go? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I probably could have waited. Like, yeah, no, you could. But then
bye-bye now.
If they call me and say, no, you're not bothering me at all. No, that's perfectly fine. But it's having that ability to say, well, I'm happy to help you, but you better be rude right now. But it doesn't matter what type of business you have or whether it's with employees or things. I think it's setting the parameters of what you expect and making sure that everyone's clear on that. Because if they're not happy with it, they can choose to do something else. That's their choice. But you have a choice as what you'll do as well. And hopefully you agree, and that's where the work happens.
It's almost like a confusing guilt with responsibility. That's...
Well, so we think about all these different scenarios in our head. If we do this, they might be upset. Or if someone was in the past, we go through 10 different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But just having some communication or an agreeance means we don't have to do any of that.
Well, it takes 9 of them away.
Yep.
Immediately. We often build up any sort of communication or any communication that we put off. We're probably putting it off because we've got 10, 20 different scenarios going through our head that might not be great.
We know the right thing to do. We just don't do it, or...
Just pick up the phone.
We're scared.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And the anticipation of the event is always worse than the event itself.
Correct.
It's hustle culture.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's defining what's working hard and having a crack, which we should encourage, and what's a point where we don't actually need to do that. Not being lazy, but it's not actually healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And... Let's say you're a mechanic and then you're constantly answering questions to people, and that's how you got a name and that's what you do. But then you're spending your whole day doing that. You're probably getting taken advantage of by the crummy clients that aren't happy to pay anyone.
Hmm.
And the good clients will feel too bad to go hello harass you because you won't charge them. So they'll feel guilty about going and wasting your time. Not wasting your time, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you actually lose the good clients and get the bad ones.
Yeah. If you're going to answer that phone call, then that's going to be the standard that you're setting for yourself, and you've got to live with the consequence of that. And when you're ready to change that, then that's just what you've got to do, isn't it?
It's interesting, because if you go into, say, a large retail establishment that has been around for a while, any large retailer, you basically know that the flow chart of what's about to happen is I'm going to walk in, I'm going to find the product that I want, I'm going to take it to the counter, I'm going to pay for it, and then I'm going to walk out. That's what happens. Any change to that might ruin your day or just make you ask a question. So why, as a business owner, can't you have those expectations?
Yeah.
Like, if someone's going to transact with you in any way, here's the way it happens, and build the routine. So people know that Monday to Friday between X and X, Rowan's available. And it has to be important to get an immediate response. And it has to be involving the business, and it can't be frivolous chit-chat, as an example.
In my case, frivolous chit-chat's encouraged.
Yes, exactly.
It's a nice break.
So set those boundaries, but also set the routine. So people know that when you pick up the phone, it'll be the same way you pick up the phone every time. It'll be, good afternoon, this is Ian, how can I help? And then the conversation flows in a predictable manner that helps people stay at ease when they're talking to you. And it goes exactly how the old days in sales training, when it got to the end of the presentation and now it's time for you to give me your credit card. And people would give you your credit card.
Yeah, could ask for the money.
Could ask for money.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
How many times have people had customers and are like, oh, what happens next?
Yeah.
Like they're literally asking you to take the bill or book them in and you're like, oh, didn't ask that. Oops.
And genuine technique is the three questions. Is what do you want to know next? So they ask a question, what do you want to know next? How much is it? $7.95, what do you want to know next? When can you deliver? Next Tuesday, what do you want to know next? Oh, that's it. What do you want to do next? Oh, I guess I'll buy it.
So just going back to we're letting things add up, you know, if we're looking at it completely different ways. So employees, you're talking about the milk and going to get it, but it's the same thing. What are the rules? So we have policies and processes, say you should have processes and oh, no one follows them, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is sometimes it's just having someone a reference. So what are the rules here? Like, how do we do things here?
Mm.
Okay, who goes gets the milk? Who does this? Who does that? Blah, blah, blah. And then they are responsible for that. And that's your job, is to manage that environment, set the environment, manage the environment, not fill in all the gaps and put your fingers in all the holes.
Yep.
Because you're putting the fingers in the holes, and if you're involved with the community club,
run out of fingers.
People have been, you'll know that a few people do a lot of things, and what they're doing is putting fingers in a whole lot of holes, and they're always upset about it, but they love doing it because they like helping, but they also are upset about it. And all they need to do is stop putting the finger in the hole, and then someone else is going to get annoyed because it's hitting them in the face, and then they're going to put their face in the hole. You know, they don't do that.
That's the best analogy.
I didn't know where it was going. You
know, in a business, okay, we don't have milk, we don't have the milk, no one's drinking. Okay, well, what are we meant to do? Is something to be so-and-so? Okay, no, they haven't. Okay. At some stage, everyone's going to be upset at the milk enough that the person's going to get milk.
Hmm.
You know, do you actually have to do anything? a lot of people be like, oh, I'll grab that and I'll solve that for you. But a lot of these things add up. They seem really trivial and small, but that's effectively what happens. Going back to the straw that broke the camel's back, you start doing something, they all add up, and then suddenly you've got too many. And it's having the ability to go, what's essential, what's not, what's our policy, and actually having the confidence to enforce that, whether that's a personal thing between people, whether that's with employees, whether that's with customers or suppliers. It's the exact same thing. It's just setting the rules and having the belief that those rules are fair and we're happy with that. Now, if no one is happy with that, you're not going to have any business. So obviously you're not going to make those rules. But within the realms you're happy with the work, it's that simple, really.
And then it really is.
Confidence that the world's going to go on. Like the world's not going to fall. The sky's not going to fall. Well, it's not going to end.
And once it's explained, most people are going to understand these are the rules of their transaction.
There's we've mentioned this before, but if price rises, most people are fine with price rises. If there's a reason, it doesn't have to be a good reason.
Petrol prices went up. Why? Because there was a war. Oh yeah, all right then.
We just got everyone a pay rise, put everyone's fees up. Oh, that's good for them though. That's going to be the answer. Some people aren't going to like it. Majority, they've got a reason.
Yep.
If the fee goes up everywhere and you don't know why, that's different. Yep. So, again, set the rules, give the reasons, and then that's how the culture forms.
All the streaming services every 3 months. Oh, yeah, your price is going up $2. Why? Oh, it just is.
Got to pay the artists.
I'm just putting myself in the position of clients, so I guess it is an interesting lesson to learn. They start their business. They know that they need to get work. They know that by answering they get work. I'm just thinking about the practical steps that they can do in order to bridge that. And so, for example, one that's coming to mind is if they're working but they also are the person responsible for the phone calls, you can set up auto replies so that at least the client knows that you've sent them some sort of touch point that they know you've received
their message. And arrange it when you get back to them.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's the auto replies or there's sharing tasks. If, for example, you have a partner that is capable of doing some of the work, then pass that on to them and that can be a team effort. Or just setting a really simple process like what you were saying. If this happens, then we do this, then that's just people a nice little system it. You can put in. Yeah.
It's good for your sanity as well. Sorry to cut you off.
Know what's going to happen.
If you know what's going to happen, if you've got a flow chart or a chart of communication or anything like that, any process, it makes it so much easier and you don't have to think about it anymore.
With your example there, it's good. It's, you know, like, so you're answering the call and then you get a sale. It's looking at that process. Okay, someone's going to answer the call. Let's look at it from what are the key points. So what's the value we need to create? What do we need to please them with? What do we need to tick? Boxes do we need to tick? And then, okay, we have an auto responder, say, okay, we respond to inquiries between 3 and 5 every day. We'll give you a call back if we have an answer. Talk to you soon. And then maybe after we've called them, there's just an email with a few things in it that you send out. So instead of drafting it every time, make it custom. Like, have one that you can just change a little bit, because then as you're doing what you do, you're getting some consistency. And exactly what Ian said, you have the confidence that you know that's going to happen. But then you also have the ability to pass that to someone else or something else later, whereas we generally do it because we can and it's quicker to do it ourselves. Mm. But then you never have the opportunity to give it to someone else with the key points being addressed.
You know, the beautiful thing about passing it to somebody else in your team is they might have an idea as well.
It's probably better than yours.
Yep.
It's usually what happens here for me.
Yeah. It really is something that I think every person who is starting a new business, when they start employing people, that's your biggest asset, is those new ideas that new brains bring. They're not as emotionally attached to the outcome as you are. Ideally, they are at some stage in their
They don't have the life, but they don't have the fear of failure.
Yeah, exactly right, because it's not their
Money. It's not there.
It's not their neck on the chopping block. Yeah. That's right. So you can throw some crazy ideas out, and every now and then, one of those crazy ideas becomes a pet rock, and you make $1 million.
Love pet rocks.
Someone painted some eyes on a rock. Made fortune.
Me. No, I didn't make the fortune. I just do that. Yes, I think all of it just kind of means that you're going to be able to take that holiday instead of just working somewhere with nicer weather.
Yeah. And if you find yourself, you don't have enough time, you're too stressed, have a look at the key things you're doing. Set some boundaries.
Make a list.
Yeah, set some boundaries. Set something up to do those key things and let everyone know what expectations are. if you are on Moonbound, you're like, oh, clients always want to talk to me. Let the clients know, hey, got a bit on at the moment. I'm going to talk to people between these hours because I know everyone's going to be happy and I'm going to be able to service you well, but also have some balance. If you're on Moonbound, all your clients are going to go, oh, yeah, fair enough. Good on you, mate. If you're a big business, it's going to be different, but don't be afraid to put those things in place. But you still need to do the value points. That's the key.
Does work. And I was just thinking, it's not really work related. Yeah, it is. I've got work and personal on my phone, right? And I obviously get notifications throughout the day. You know, you have people send you reels and videos and random messages and catch-ups and that sort of thing. And what I do is I go to bed at 9:30-ish and I sit there and I'll do my Duolingo and then I'll respond to everyone and then I won't worry about it until the next night. And so there's always a 24-hour response and everyone knows it.
Waiting up to a lift. Is he going to reply to me again?
Yeah, but it's like if someone...
Why is she replying in Spanish today? What is going on?
I felt really guilty about it because I can't turn off my notifications. I can't do it because otherwise I'll miss it. With so many stupid platforms, I should just delete platforms. But turning off notifications is just too far of a jump for me. I just feel like I'm going to miss something that I probably should. But if I go throughout the day and
it's always available.
It's a good setup you've got there. It's a good example.
Exactly. So, yeah, just swipe away those notifications. I'll get back to you tonight. Everyone has got on to the fact that it takes me 24 hours to reply unless they call me. So that's my boundary.
Yeah,
it works for you. And as for work, call me whenever and we're working on that one.
You know, the interesting one there is that like, you can do that when you've got the right setup.
Mm.
It's when it becomes a problem and you don't have the right setup and you're doing it because you have to, that becomes an issue.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got different focuses and you're going to put more attention to those. Yep. So it's going to be different for everyone and it will change around. Don't feel bad because someone else doesn't do it or does do it. It's what works for you at the time.
Yeah. And in doing all of that, you are teaching. I think someone said this earlier in the podcast. You're teaching people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm. Self-respect.
Yeah. Exactly. So you just need to define what it is that you want to get out of it. If you do want to be available, then you be available. You deal with the consequence of that. However, if you're starting to see that has negative impacts, start changing it.
There's some great resources available as well. If you are feeling like you're at that point where, crap, what do? I've set this standard and now I can't step back from it. Like, reach out. Find some help. Whether it's read a book or listen to a podcast, I find The Imperfects, which is based on the Resilience Project, outstanding. And they're starting to branch out from education into business now, which I'm really excited about seeing where they go with that in regards to helping business owners who are feeling the pinch a little bit mentally. So that I've seen firsthand what it does in education and in mental health. So to see that translate across to, and this isn't sponsored, by the way, although if they want to throw us a couple of dollars, that'd be
I just want to talk to them.
Yeah, cool. I met them in Melbourne. It was great. Hugh's just now. Hugh could probably relate to this podcast. He's one of those guys who was always available, and I think he's just starting to set his boundaries. But genuinely awesome humans, and trying to help.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess have a listen to the Imperfects podcast, and if you do need some help, reach out. We can chat. From the business hours of 9 to 4, Monday to Friday.
Unless it's a Sunday at 8 p.m, I heard, is when Z's returning messages.
All right, everyone. Have a good week. See you.